no, that's not the... No. I just want to say to Michelle, with these weather, you know, not dipping below freezing, is it time to put one's garlic in?
Oh, it better be in already, but I guess you could do it now, too. Why not? Yeah. So... Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was just wondering, Jack, is your garlic in?
I've never planted garlic. I should. You're right.
I'm not shaming you.
Easy. I know. And okay. So fun. It's like the first thing that sprouts up through the snow. It's like spring is here. Okay. Just about.
And you're suggesting that I could maybe even do it right now.
Like No. 9 o'clock.
Well, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's put a curb on that.
Yeah. Okay. After the show, I could go home.
Mm-hmm.
Dig. What do I do? Dig. Do I just push it down? Do I dig holes?
Yeah.
How deep?
And you need to make sure that, like, the bottom of the clove is pointing down so that the pointed clove of the garlic. I've had friends that have been, oh, no, did I do it the right way? Uh-huh. And they go and dig it up again. Uh-huh. And what do you think, Anna? I mean, I don't see why you couldn't plant it right now.
You could try, for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
give it a try.
The soil may be workable still.
Well, it's not frozen. The soil's not frozen yet.
I haven't been in my garden digging around. So
okay, right. I don't think it would be.
No, it's not. Yeah, and I could really go down to the supermarket, buy a head of garlic, break the cloves.
Well, don't they say that sometimes? I guess buying maybe organic because sometimes I think the garlic is sprayed so it can't reproduce. Well, we could probably find you
some garlic for you.
There
Jack.
You go.
Okay, thanks, Debbie.
I have a garlic dealer, and she pulled a bunch out, and I got a bag of cloves.
Nice.
Hi, I'm a dealer.
I'm jealous.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. A dealer in garlic. Yeah, we have a raised bed next to our driveway, and in the winter months, you know, we pull in, and I'll look over there, and there's snow on it, and I wonder what the garlic is doing in January
and
February, you know, like underneath there in their little rocking chairs, knitting or reading a book. You know, I mean, because you're absolutely correct,
Michelle.
And
thinking they planted me the wrong way. Well,
I was even thinking about that. If you did plant it on its head, I imagine it would probably find its way.
Then it has to take like some of the energy.
Yeah, I know.
It's
not ideal, but I bet those little garlic, you know, plants can persevere. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. We'll see. What that would be fun.
What if we did that? Available. Well, I think we should give it a go.
What if we did a row upside down and then a row right side up, same variety, and do a little test?
Can you imagine what's going on underground? You know, ha ha! They planted us right side up. You know, oh darn! You know, I mean, but wouldn't that be true with all bulbs, like tulip bulbs and daffodil bulbs, if you don't put them? You know, the right side up.
Right.
Would they find their...
I love the experimental mentality. Just give it a try. See what happens.
Anna, how about just one?
Okay,
or
one.
Two?
Yes, and you can put a little popsicle stick by it.
Let's
put a little
exercise
popsicle stick
some
by
control
it.
Here. Yes. I know. Some that made me nervous.
We could plant a bed.
Now that we got that out... You know what I'm thinking of, Jack? What fun little James would have. Yeah, because Michelle's absolutely correct. They're the first things that pop out, and you go, whoa!
Yeah,
you
know, through the snow.
Yes,
and the dark green.
It's magic.
Oh, and then you can use the scape for pesto.
Scape. Yep,
you bet. Yeah, you got to bring in the food element, so we can make garlic
and
bread,
have
honey.
You have to like garlic, too.
The scape?
The scape is the...
A garlic virgin. We got a garlic virgin.
Yeah, indeed, you do.
Yes, it's... How do you describe it?
It's the flower of the garlic,
it's the
right?
flower, but it looks like a bunch of buds up on top that don't really open.
Okay.
But you can make pesto out of it and
grill them and put them
delish.
In salad.
Delish, yeah.
There you go.
Well,
we have, we have sufficiently shamed Jack.
I've been thinking about it before. I just, you know, don't know if I have room in the garden bed for garlic. But I guess if it comes so early, you could even reuse, you know, you could use that space later on in the year.
Usually, harvest them in July?
July. Could you do them in pots?
I tried that one year. We tried it at the charter school garden, and they just kind of rotted. I don't know. It kind of the pot froze, and it didn't do much.
Those in Radio Land right now, you missed Michelle's hands going with rotted and curling around.
I bet you could pop a couple cloves of garlic into your flower bed and just see what happens.
Oh, right.
You know, you don't need to, you don't need to put it, designate a whole bed for it. You can just get ahead, pop a few in and see what happens.
See what happens. Yeah. All right.
We got that out of the way.
Indeed. You said you can actually get garlic at the Bonner Community Food Bank. Did somebody say that? No.
Oh, I think Debbie.
That's because Debbie's here there.
It's a personal,
connection.
That's a personal connection. Yeah. Okay. We are talking with Debbie Love, Anna Camp, and Michelle Murphy from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And at this time of year, it's important to keep the food bank in mind. So I guess let's talk about where do we want to start? The needs of the food bank right now? What are you after? How are things going?
Most recently, our market manager brought to our attention that we are in need of breakfast cereal and oatmeal. So that's high on the list. It's, right just from, our inventory of the market as of yesterday. So that's a high need, but we're always in need of, high protein items. So, non-condensed soups, soups with pull top cans, even condensed soups, chili, canned chicken, a tuna, either in cans or pouches. Those are all, those are first to go off of our shelves. And people always need them.
And peanut butter.
Peanut butter. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, high protein. Yeah, for folks who mm-hmm. may not, or any nut butter, really, too.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
If, we can add those in there. That's,
okay.
Top of the list.
Breakfast cereal and oatmeal. Okay. How was Thanksgiving? How was Thanksgiving for the food bank, for the clientele of the food bank, for the volunteers? How'd it go? And for you personally, Debbie Love, how was it?
Thank you. It was busy.
Yeah.
The SNAP benefits were suspended.
Mm-hmm.
So that added another element to our busyness, to the holidays. We had planned on purchasing 600 turkeys, and then typically the community will donate 100 to 200 turkeys. So we ended up going back and asking if we can purchase 800, which ended up working out. So we had 800 turkeys. We served in 7 business days, 877 families.
Wow.
So, and that is definitely an increase from last year.
So you 877 turkeys, so you had fewer than 100 turkeys donated this year.
So the good news is the community, because I think of, unfortunately, with SNAP, mm-hmm. the community response was even greater.
Yeah.
So we ended up with, I think it was close to 400 turkeys donated.
Oh, wow.
A little under, maybe. So we are in turkey heaven right now, and we're able to give turkeys and hams for Christmas this month. So
mm-hmm. good. In turkey heaven. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. How? Let's talk about how that SNAP benefit cut off. How long did that last, and what were the effects here locally in Bonner County? What did we?
Yeah.
How long were SNAP benefits cut off during the government shutdown? Do you know how? I don't remember the exact date. I know they stopped on November 1st, and I don't know when they resumed.
We started getting calls in mid-October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People concerned, and half the benefits came back, I want to say, mid-November. Some still do not have their full benefits. So they're just, for sure they received half of their benefits, but I know it's slowly happening. There's over 130,000 residents in Idaho on SNAP. So it's an important program. If that program were to be cut, the food banks across the nation would not be able to keep up with the amount of people that are utilizing that program and need it.
Mm-hmm.
So
the program, I mean, so you did see a significant kind of increase in business or in,
absolutely,
in busyness.
Yeah. Over 1,000 families in 1 week, that second week in November.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, it was busy like I haven't seen before. I mean, Debbie has a much longer history at the food bank there.
But in my 2 years, I had not seen anything like it. There were people lined up. There were people calling on the telephone, worried that the food bank would be shutting down, and just trying to reassure the community that we would stay open. We weren't affiliated with the SNAP benefits being suspended. So there was...
But the busiest you've ever seen it, that second week in November, as far as your experience goes. Yeah.
For me personally, yeah, and it sounds like for Debbie.
Is that true?
Well.
Fortunately, I would say not, for my personal, we went through COVID, so having that quick response, and I'm learning now that when there's a crisis within our government, the food bank numbers will always increase.
Huh.
So being able to respond, and our community is amazing.
Yeah.
The response that we had is incredible, and we had 20 volunteers walk in 2 days.
So it was amazing.
It's helping us streamline, and we're learning things on how to actively engage people quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, I think we're over 200 volunteers now.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I was saying to a colleague too about if there, you know, there is a silver lining to the SNAP benefits being suspended, it would be raising awareness around food insecurity in our community. Locally, and getting a response that we have from the community. So, you know, people who were losing benefits and required assistance, they found us, and people who witnessed the benefits being cut stepped up. People who were, you know, given the opportunity to step up, they really did. Mm-hmm. And being at ground zero for that was. It was pretty amazing to witness. As Debbie said, all the volunteers walking through the doors, and people who had the financial means also coming in. If they were to give a few dollars, you know, there was school groups raising money and food. There's food drives to help offset, you know, what was created, you know, at the federal level, and it was really heartening to see that that people that could. Participate and take the control and contribute as they could. They did, and it was amazing. So that's the silver lining.
Yes, yeah. And being there for those who need us. So
yeah.
Hey, can I say something?
Please.
Well, I started volunteering at the food bank in October.
One of those volunteers.
One of those volunteers. And
thank you.
You know, I've got several observations. If you've never been to the community food bank, just go out there and tour the operation. Your jaw will drop with the staff and the volunteers and the clients. They're just absolutely amazing. And, you know, not only individuals that Anna was talking about, but I can't say enough about Yolks and Super One and Safeway and Winter Ridge. They do sweeps,
Walmart,
I think, Walmart. Yeah. Every morning, I think they do sweeps of those different businesses. And what they come back with is absolutely incredible. And, you know, and to see how the food bank works with points certain aspects of it, like produce that has short shelf life, are no points. And some of the bakery items are no points. Dairy is no. It's absolutely a vital part of our community and so healthy out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am really honored to be able to volunteer out there.
What, Jim, you went and signed up. What job did, I imagine the volunteer coordinator, Anna Camp, gave you a task. What job have you been
shoveling.
Doing?
Shoveling.
Is that what you're doing?
No.
What's your job at the food bank?
My job at the food bank is checking out the clients. Oh. You know, they'll come up with, they shop like in a regular grocery store. They pick the items that they need, that they want. I sometimes see on television where you'll have a cardboard box on rollers and people putting cans in and stuff like that. Well, what happens if someone is gluten challenged? Mm. Or what happens if someone has a peanut allergy? This way, people go through with a shopping cart and they have X number of points that they're given the size of their family and income and things like that. And I check people out, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I'm learning how to, okay, there's those are no points, so put them over here. These are point mm-hmm. things, you know, and mm-hmm. it's just great. That, okay. That's all I can say is that I have a smile on my face uh-huh. while I'm there.
Is this your first time? Did you ever work in a grocery store, you know, I'm bagging learning, groceries
I'm,
or anything?
I'm learning like how to bag.
You are?
I'm yeah. learning how to bag. And, okay. and it's really wonderful to see the clients bringing their own bags in. Uh-huh. And yeah, it's, yeah, and especially with eggs.
uh-huh.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel really blessed to be able to volunteer out there.
Anna, what's it? You've got sort of a surge in volunteers. What's it been like for you as coordinator? Do you ever struggle to, you know, find people or, you know, find roles for people to fill?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yes. And it's, you know, some days we have a lot more people in the market mm-hmm. than we can assign jobs to, which is, yeah, you just have to be responsive. And it makes it actually gives us an opportunity to really, you know, assess what, you know, how our current systems have been working and how we need to, you know, possibly work on expanding and upgrading our systems, how we approach this, you know, really generous group of people who want to become involved. But I think it's a huge opportunity, really, I think, to involve more organizations in the community and collaborate on different projects so we can assign you know, food bank volunteers who have signed up because of their interest in, if it's in interest in food or interest in community service or whatever they can offer to our organization to collaborate with different organizations and do more project work because we have that capacity now. It's exciting. It's a great opportunity, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to shift the conversation over to Michelle. Who is the queen of raised gardens.
Oh, my God. And collaborations.
Yes.
Oh,
in the community.
This woman can collaborate.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Talk about your collaborations with the community food bank.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, I love working with Anna and Debbie.
Ditto.
I mean,
ditto.
Always everything is run so nicely. I can depend on things. But I was thinking this morning that the last time we were here, and I don't remember when it was, we had just started our produce project. So we were, you know, asking people to donate produce. And I haven't heard how many pounds we took in, but a portion of that went to the summer meals for kids. So that was really exciting.
Jack and I each got a tomato plant.
Yes, and we wanted to hear how your tomato plants did.
I'm sort of feel good that the success of the project was not dependent upon our tomatoes.
Oh, you know what? I heard that so much, and that's fine. You know, we fed a lot of deer this year as well, and but a lot of people, give it a try.
How many plants did you give out?
Oh, my gosh, to over 2,000. I know, Debbie, sorry. It was, you know, I remember it was Diane Green is the one who started this. Mm-hmm. You know, I came by to pick up some plants. She said she had some plants. I was in my Honda and she's looking at me. She's like, that is not going to work. Come back with a pickup truck. So I think it was 3 or 4 pickup loads of, it was over 900 plants that she gave me. And then people started, you know, All Seasons was next, and Northern Flower. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was, we were so short, just about at 2,000. Said, well, oh well.
You know? What was the purpose of all these plants?
Okay, so we gave them away for free. Mm-hmm. And I thought when I picked up the 900 plants, how am I going to get rid of all these plants? But I mean, I went to the library plant swap. Within 15, 20 minutes, over 200 plants were gone. So it was a really nice celebration. Sure. Join our growing team.
And community.
You can do something. You know, we did that during COVID. Stuck at home, let's grow some tomatoes. So it was just, I don't know. And just giving people plants, free plants, I had the best job in the world.
Can I put in a request for next year? I don't know about Jack.
Are we doing this mm-hmm. again next year?
can I have radishes?
Oh, okay. And radishes, I think that's what we took in.
They're quick grow.
Right. And I the kids
Michelle
love
had
them.
A conversation with Bobby Coleman at the nutrition. She was a nutrition head at the Lake Pondere School District. And that's where a lot of these plants went, was with the idea that these plants would be possibly grown in you know, backyards all over the county, and maybe some of the harvest would go back to the food bank where we sorted it and delivered it to the nutrition department at Lake Pondere School District for their summer meal program. So they got, there was a lot of radishes brought in by the SOAC, the Sandpoint Organic Research, U of I Center.
The reason why I'm asking for radishes is that tomatoes take forever.
They do.
I want something that I can put in the ground and boom.
Well, mustard
there.
Greens are also
That's
really
a
fast.
Good idea.
Yes. Yeah. Because I don't know. Did you get any blooms on your tomato plants?
Well,
Well, you have deer.
Exactly.
Though.
Yeah. I've told this story before, but we had a successful year in the garden, and so, you know, I can't complain too much. It was a lot of things grew, and we were really, right at the end of the year, we were kind of saving the tomatoes. We had a lot of tomatoes. We'd been eating them all year, but we hadn't harvested them. And it was basically, I think the week before, we had planned to take them all in, bring some to the food bank, make sauce, make salsa, you know, put the garden to bed. And went out there, and there in the fence was evidence of a break-in. We had a heist. The deer broke into the garden and cleaned us out.
Rogue deers.
We have deer fence all around, which is not very strong. And
I've had them eat through the fence.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It was heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
For all of us. But anyway. Yes. Except for the deer.
Except,
I guess we're very happy.
And that's where I have to go with it. Because instead of getting angry and feeling that I'm a victim of theft.
I'm getting angry at the deer. I don't want that.
I have to think about it as like,
I like
this animal's going to have an easier winter because of my effort.
And we back again. And I think the radish idea is a great idea. We should see like how many seeds that we can collect of radishes. I know
I don't think I even had a blossom on my tomato plant.
We're gonna go with radishes,
but I think we planted it in the wrong part of the garden, you know, where it was shaded by the basil and stuff like that.
There's so much to learn with growing, and
it's trial by error, isn't it?
Yeah, without
doubt. You put this next to something else, and just like how you put your garlic bulbs in.
Yeah, and you have to take the long view. This is not immediate gratification. This is years and years of being in a certain climate, or even on your plot of land. Like, oh gosh, that you know, I've got this very large Sambucus. What is the natural or the native? Elderberry growing right next to my garden. And I know that now, after, you know, this is going to be our third season in there, like I cannot plant anything near that bush because it grows so vigorously. It shades everything out.
It's a bully bush.
It's a bully. And I need to treat her like, okay, you stay back.
Okay. As a collaborator, what do you do, Michelle? As a collaborator with the Community Food Bank?
The last thing, we did a food drive in the summer, but something really exciting, one of the greatest experiences I've just had, is we partnered with the school district, PSNI, Panhandle Special Needs, and Kiniksu Land Trust. We're building a new community garden at the basin of Sled Hill. I was saying the bottom of Sled Hill. It's like, no, it's not that people are going to sled over the new garden. But it's a beautiful area, and it's got some trees. I don't know. And I think that those are dedicated to sprouts. So that will be something but working with those organizations were fantastic. And we'll have to get the food bank involved for the next round too. We'll be donating produce at least. So, I just think that there's so many wonderful organizations in our town, you know, and I go in and I talk to the students at Lake Pondere High School here and there, and I was telling them, you know, if you have a heart for something, you want to do something, you can do it here. I'm so just grateful for getting the opportunity to work with organizations like the Food Bank. And
I want to say something about, I've known Michelle since her first raised bed. Okay.
And that's a while ago.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, and wow. And that, you know, in terms of in elementary schools, and to talk about engaging the students and creating a life pattern that they can see how things grow.
Right.
And how the magic of that, you know, that this is something that no matter where you live, even if you live in a large city, you can do things in a pot. You know, I understand you can do potatoes in a pot.
And in a bag.
Yeah.
Or in a bag, right.
You know, that sort of thing. And so I think what Michelle has done is absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you, Jim. That's really nice. I remember emailing you and I was like, hey, would you ever want to talk about gardens? And it was like, yes, come in.
In the early days.
15 years ago.
Yep.
And there was one time that I was on and I said, if you have a space for a garden, please let me know. So Christ our Redeemer, you know, reached out to me because of our interview. And now they have that huge garden there that Rebecca Hawkins runs.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
of all things, a garden. I mean, I was an attorney in San Diego, and never in a million years did I think this is what I would be doing. You never know.
Isn't life fun?
I just wanted to add on that Michelle's the reason we have a garden as well.
Yes.
And she was sitting in my office and asked, I had just started with the food bank, and she's like, what's one of your visions? And it's like, raised beds. We need to have a garden on site here at the food bank. And little did I know I was talking to the right person. And 2 months later, we had funding and we had people installing, and it was incredible.
It's a beautiful garden you have there.
Yeah.
And I cannot emphasize enough at the food bank the importance of fresh produce, you know, in terms of, rather than getting canned items or boxed items, you know, fresh produce is really important. The challenge is that it has a short shelf life. You know, you got to get it into the hands of the people who will enjoy it and use it, you know, so.
Yeah, and getting them started early, too, with kids. And, you know, the school lunch staff would tell the kids, you know, even if it was a banana or a pineapple, this was grown in your garden. It's like, oh, we love this. You know, we'll try some of that. Yep, all good.
You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show, and we're here in conversation with Debbie Love, Anna Camp, and Michelle Murphy about the Bonner Community Food Bank at this important time of year for food. And Debbie's the executive director, Anna's volunteer coordinator.
Ta-da.
Michelle Murphy, I have you down as collaborator.
Okay.
Is that right?
What
title
work.
Would you like to be used?
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Queen of raised beds.
Garden queen of the Bonner Community Food Bank, yeah.
Should we take a music break and then come back and talk about, you know, the rhythm of the year with food needs? I mean, food is needed throughout the year, but, you know, the holidays, and then we go into January and February. We can talk about that. Here is a song that was recorded back in 1958. And who all remembers that? Pick me.
Yeah.
I remember it.
Yeah.
I remember it. The Coasters. It was recorded on this date, December the 11th in 1958, Charlie Brown.
Ouch. Feet, feet, five, five, four, four, four. I smell smoke in the auditorium. Charlie Brown, he's a clown. That Charlie Brown, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see.
Why is everybody always picking on me? Everybody always picking on me.
On this date, December the 11th in 1958, I was in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I remember that. Charlie Brown, the coasters. Eighth grade.
That was a big hit. And
high school grade. Is next on my horizon.
Yeah. Whoa. Very exciting. Hey, you're listening to the KRFY Morning Show. Jack Peterson here with Jim Healy, and we're talking to Debbie Love, Anna Camp, and Michelle Murphy about the Bonner Community Food Bank. There's action afoot right now at the community food bank, and Debbie's got to run. It sounds like is that right?
I think we're gonna be okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. No, nothing.
Crisis averted.
So, okay.
Yeah,
good.
Thank you.
All right. There was possibly a brief staffing shortage, but it sounds like it's okay. Things have worked out. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're going to stick around. Let's talk about something. The community food bank is located where, for those who either want to go and volunteer mm-hmm. and either volunteer or who are in need of your services?
All right. We are located off of North Boyer behind mm-hmm. the airport.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's on Culver's Drive.
Culver's, 1707 Culver's Drive.
Okay. And there is a little sign there. It's like an official sign.
There
right?
is an official sign now off of Boyer.
So yeah, off Boyer. Yeah, sorry.
That's on Ebbett. Yeah. No, that's okay. There used mm-hmm. to be one there. So.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there you go.
Yeah.
But is it possible that you won't be there forever in that location? What's going on? There's talk of a change in location.
There is. We uh-huh. are actively seeking for a new building.
Yeah.
We have grown out of the 7,800 square foot building that we're in. Hmm. And we also have a parking shortage as well. We don't have enough space for parking.
Mm-hmm.
So we are out and about looking for a building.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but you haven't found a specific location yet. You're still in the hunt.
We are. There's three specifically that are on the spot bus route, which would be really important.
Oh, wise move.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, because right now we're a few blocks away mm-hmm, from the mm-hmm. the spot bus drop off.
Right.
So we have clients carrying their groceries from the food bank to that spot, which is over the railroad tracks. It's just, you know, it's hard.
Not convenient.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You guys are right next to the both railroad tracks. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there is anything that our listeners can do, I guess, unless they own a warehouse somewhere. But is there any, I mean, is there anything people can do to help you with this search? Or if people have an idea of a place you can go, I guess.
Sure, they could reach out to us at 208-263-3663.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of in the beginning phase here. So, but
yeah,
if somebody has any ideas or.
Yeah.
Access.
How large of a space do you need?
We are looking at double the square footage, so around 16,000 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want it to be there long after I'm gone. So,
okay.
You know, for future and where we're not having to do this uh-huh. again, that someone would have to go, you know, have to move again. It's a big project.
How long have you been at your present location? Do you have any idea?
14 years. So 2011.
Years. Okay.
We moved from over by Server Burger.
Oh, yeah.
They were up there for many years.
Okay. Okay.
And then in 2004 or 2011, they moved over to mm-hmm. where we mm-hmm. are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are two, I guess, affiliated locations total. There's one in Sandpoint, the one we're talking about, and then you have one in Priest River.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay. In the Rivertown Mall right off the mm-hmm. highway.
Okay.
As you come into town.
Yeah. Has anyone ever talked about, you know, adding a third anywhere, would that be an option for if you don't find a 15,000 square foot building? Could you add another, you know,
location?
a second site?
The challenges we're facing, the mm-hmm. north lot to us where people park in that dirt gravel lot, we mm-hmm. do not own that.
Mm.
And so that is a lease. And the person that does own it is wanting to build there.
I see.
So there's some kind of urgency that we're feeling right now that after 10 years I've been with a food bank, they're wanting to maybe start looking at actively building. So that would cause a problem. And those of you who have visited us, the front parking lot that we do have is very limited for people.
So. Yeah. You can hardly turn a car around. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It reminds me of the post office with their parking lot here.
But worse. Well, and too, also with the increase in visitorship that we're getting, you know, there's more shoppers trying to park, and in the increase of volunteers. When I drive in the morning, I counted 12 cars already parked. So it's this thing that we're like, okay, we need more space. We're growing.
When we have our partners on Wednesdays, there are 30 cars in that lot. And so, you know, people start parking on the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is there anything special that you would need in a property? Just access to the spot bus and anything else?
A loading dock, right? We talked about it.
Loading dock. So we're looking at the buildings we are looking at have a loading dock, but really nothing fancy. Just what we're in, you know, floor space and offices, which we can create inside a big warehouse if needed. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, I hope it pans out. I hope you can come back with news on that front. Give that phone number again, just in case somebody wants to have this conversation with you.
Yeah. 208-263-3663.
Okay.
Yeah. It was 263 food, right?
Yes. Is it?
Yeah. So it's easy to remember. It's easy to remember. And we also, you know, have our webpage. Like if you don't have, you know, something to write with right now, check out our webpage, which is bonnerfoodbank.org, and all the information is available there too, or with our phone number and email address and hours and a lot of information.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and like you were saying, you have so much support from the community. The fundraiser that you had this year, that was phenomenal. One of the best events I've ever been to.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the help. Thank you. That's saying a lot coming from you, because I know that, yeah, you have a lot of experience in that realm in the community. So, yeah, it was a ton of work on the front end, and I think that it really... It turned out for us and all the people that we serve. And I think one of the takeaways there that I observed in the building that night and every day that we're in the food bank is we do so much more than provide food. It's, you know,
community.
Providing food is, I mean, that's definitely our mission. That's what we're all committed to. And as sort of a, you know, a ripple effect of that, you know, act is building the community around it, be it through gardening and, you know, people like Michelle knowing that, you know, she can bring in her expertise and the capacity of growing food and then sharing that and all of the things that are involved in growing food. There's, you know, opportunities for education and connection and our volunteer crew. I love just seeing our volunteer crew get together. We have a Christmas party tomorrow, which I'm thrilled about being a part of. And we can recognize everybody and thank them and in the community that's built within within that group of people. So I'm really grateful for that and all of the people we work with, you know, that take part in it. So yeah, it's
and we're heading into the holidays and also end of the year giving financially, because not only does the food bank take in food items, but cash is important as well. And Debbie, can you address that? What donations that are cash, what that does for the food bank?
Yes, absolutely. We are able to purchase food in bulk level, by the pallet. Mm-hmm. And so we get a lot of times wholesale pricing for that, which the dollar goes a lot farther. So Anna mentioned chili. I had just ordered two pallets of chili and then a pallet of chicken noodle soup and then another pallet of another canned soup. But anyway, and I mean, we're getting a heck of a deal for that if due to the donations that we're receiving. So it's nice to have that option when we're low on items that we're able to purchase those that are needed.
And not only food items, but hygiene items, you know, diapers, which are expensive.
They are. Mm-hmm. And formula.
Yeah, diapers and formula.
And not covered by SNAP either.
Right, right. So, yeah, the SNAP benefits does not cover any non-food items. Mm-hmm. And so folks have the opportunity to get diapers, formula, feminine hygiene, toothbrush, toothpaste. All yes. Important. So, and those actually, yeah, that's a good reminder that we do take those as donations mm-hmm. as well. Shampoo, all that.
Right. Yep. Right.
Sleeping bags, sleeping bags. Backpacks.
Well, the front lobby is, you know, coats and yes. sweaters. And so the visitors, the clients come in, they can, you know, avail themselves of those before they go back into the grocery store part of it. I mean, the needs that are met are just amazing. And, you know, it's all community. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking about the Bonner Community Food Bank with Debbie Love, the executive director, Anna Camp, the volunteer coordinator, and Michelle Murphy, collaborator, garden queen.
Why not?
What I mean, I guess we already, it's a strange year. I was going to ask how things are different. You know, are you seeing an increase in clientele, you know, year over year? Now the holiday season, but with the SNAP benefit interruption, I suppose it's hard to say, you know, what effects beyond that, you know, the conditions locally have been for those in need of food. Is it a busier time of year? I mean, is it busier this year than it was last year? Do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. It is.
Without a doubt. I think on average, you know, we were seeing last year, you know, maybe a client, a new neighbor or two would be coming in to sign up for services. Mm-hmm. And this fall, we're seeing, you know, on the high end, we're seeing 8 or 9 families sign up a day.
A day.
It's it's been difficult actually to just proceed with standard operations because of the need that we're seeing coming in from the community. So it's been significant.
Hmm. Yeah, there have been times when families come in and Anna is doing an intake, Susan, our other office administrator, and then myself, all three of us are just
intaking
and then mm-hmm. touring. So, and it takes about 30 minutes per family, depending on the situation. It could take longer, but so it's an average of 30 minutes. So,
to give you an idea, if I'm not mistaken, on the website, over 3,000 households are served per month.
Yes.
You know, through the community food bank. And that's a large number in terms of needs that need to be met.
It is extremely, yeah. I mean, what's the population of the county? I think it's in the, 60,000-ish? Something like that? 40, even less than that?
Yeah, 40? 44, I yeah. think, yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere in the 40.
Okay. And 3,000 households, not individuals.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, a very large number. Okay, so if people are interested in helping, we know that they can give cash. They can donate food. What's the best way of doing that if they want to give food?
They can bring it right into the food bank.
Okay.
We have a permanent barrel at Yolks in the front of their store there. And mm-hmm. we also have a barrel at Sandpoint Superdrug permanently. So.
Do you have, I think you did once, you have like a shopping list or a, you know, a list of needs that you give? Yeah.
Yeah, that's available on our website.
Okay.
That's the best rather than going, second only, I think, to the brown bags, you know, that they sometimes have. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people want to do good, and what you want to do is make it easy for them
absolutely.
To do good.
Yes.
You know, I mean, oh, I want to do good, but oh, that's too hard.
Yeah.
What are the needs? People don't know what are the needs.
But they'll have brown bags and on there that'll say what it is. Also, if they do have a food drive going on at one of the grocery stores, they give the shoppers a list, and you just pick from it. Yeah. And
cereal's on the top of the list this week.
Number one.
Cereal. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Breakfast cereal. Yes. Okay.
And you would never know that that's the amount of people that they're helping. They're so cool under pressure, and there's so much kindness at the food bank that I don't think it's, you know, intimidating
Not
as
at all.
It can be.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice to hear that just our community is stepping up so much, that you've had this rush of volunteers to meet that need.
I'm amazed by it. It blows me away.
Do you still have need for more volunteers? If people are rich in time, but not necessarily in...
Absolutely. Come in. Uh-huh. Come in and fill out an application, and we will find a place for to use your time and talents.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as Anna mentioned, we have, seasonal volunteers. We also have some days, like, we'll have 15 people in the back, and then other days we have maybe three. So it's so flexible, and we're flexible as well with volunteers' time. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well... excellent. What else? What else can you tell us about the holidays here at the community food bank? You guys, how do things change around? You come up on a few big days.
Yeah. Well, we do currently have the Coats for Kids project happening, so we've got a lot of jackets in our lobby that are available for families, and it is not just children. So there's coats for adults as well. And you do not have to be a signed up recipient at the food bank to receive these, this winter gear. Mm-hmm. So we've got jackets available to the general public that is available. So what we have done in the past too is if it's in the community's capacity, there's an opportunity to sponsor a family to provide gifts to a family. So if a community member would like to get involved, that's something that we could offer.
I saw that on your website. There's a on the Our Services thing, there's the Christmas gift match. Is that something that's you're pursuing this year as well? You're going to try to?
Yeah. So yeah, it's been ongoing for several years. Mm-hmm. We'll take donors will come in and express an interest in possibly sponsoring a family, mm-hmm. and families who are interested in receiving help purchase Christmas gifts and make Christmas mm-hmm. just a little more special for their children and themselves can create a wish list, and we can depending on how many participants we have, we'll mm-hmm. link up donor families with families that need help with Christmas, making Christmas a little more merry. So that's an ongoing project that we have. Yeah. The Christmas mm-hmm. gift match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's different. Do your hours change? Is your, and do you do, I know ahead of Thanksgiving, like you said, you have you kind of put together a Thanksgiving meal, or I mean, you have, all the Thanksgiving food. Is it similar for Christmas as well?
Make more, turkeys available, turkeys and hams available. Mm-hmm. So that's some, an offering that we don't, have throughout the year. So, mm-hmm. and this year, because of the generosity of, businesses and local individuals, we can offer that mm-hmm. through the holiday season for Christmas as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have need for venison? I've got my eye on a couple of tomato-fed
deer.
Yeah.
We actually do. We will accept venison. It needs to be processed.
Oh, is that true?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
You'll take. So if we've got hunters who have a surplus, they'll.
Yes. Yeah. As long as it's processed in a USDA inspected facility, so a place like Woods Meats.
Woods Meats would be one.
Yes,
yeah.
We will gladly accept venison, and it is it's wonderful to accept. Yeah, these nutrient dense, protein items that, we can offer to our neighbors. And there's a lot of people too that, maybe had eaten a lot of venison in their uh-huh. upbringing and they want nothing to do with it. And there's others that really miss it. And they are uh-huh. excited when they see, here's a round roast or, a couple pounds of ground venison that they can use and make their tacos or spaghetti or whatever it is that, their yeah. family does. So I think it's a beautiful local offering that, is unique to our area, that we can offer wild game meat to wow. our neighbors.
That's cool.
It is. It's incredible.
What about fish from retired guys that are out fishing like my husband?
I think it would depend on how it's processed. It has to be minimally processed, so we can accept a whole fish. I know we do that with the Idaho Fish and Game. They will come in and a couple times a year and bring us Lake trout. Like, and I'm trying to think of how many pounds. I mean, it's hundreds of pounds at a time.
Yes.
Really?
And they will come in and they will, because it's not processed, they will bring us the whole fish. It's,
yeah,
it, it's,
sure.
It's, and it, and that's when we see a lot. Yeah.
So what do you do? So what do you do when Idaho Fish and Game drops off 100 pounds or more of whole fish?
Oh, it's quite the sight.
Yeah. Okay.
They have coolers, you know, and there's a little blood involved. They're slimy.
Yeah.
It's lovely. And then
I love it.
I know.
Oh, well, it's so exciting.
I'm high fish, so yeah. Okay. Not everyone does. And we have volunteers that volunteer to do it, but they're interested. So we have USDA grade bags, and so when they bring them in, you just slide them into the bag, and then we tie them up and put them in the freezer, and then we give them out. So
right, yeah. and you give them out whole scales,
that's
head,
right.
And everything.
Everything. Right. Yep.
Okay. And do they go? I mean, people pick them up.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
A lot of people will know they'll see them out in Clark Fork doing the netting, and so they'll follow them into the food bank and be waiting. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Oh, we could have some kind of drive. I can see my husband be like, I got to go out. I'm fishing for the food bank.
That, to me, is it, that would be another volunteer program. I mean, Michelle, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I think
we could
is.
Do a derby. Like we can do a derby in to benefit the food bank.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is see?
See? But you never know what happens here when you go on KRFY.
Right. We've done a good job here this morning, I guess. We came up with that good idea.
One more location of the food bank.
1707 Culver's Drive in Sandpoint.
And the phone number is 208-263-3663.
Oh,
263-3-FOOD.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't do good with I do. I'm much better with numbers.
I am
than,
too.
You know, because I'm going, and by then, you know, it's expired.
Now, but where is that F? Like, where's absolutely. The F? Where's the D? Oh, it's a three. It's a three.
thank you three so much for coming in, Debbie, Michelle, and Anna.
Thank you.
The service you provide to the community and the way in which you make the community stronger is to be commended. Mm-hmm. And, thank you for being part of the North Idaho community. You play an incredibly important role.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank
Jack.
You, Jim. Thank well, you, Jack. Thank you.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well said,
KRFY.
Jim. You guys brought in, I see, multiple pages of talking points here. Did we get to everything? Is there anything else we wanted to mention before we sign off?
I think we... Anna does a lovely job with our quarterly newsletter. So if
folks
want to keep up with what we're doing.
It's available on our website. So go to bonnerfoodbank.org. It's under news and resources. And we have all of the quarterly newsletters available there, just with happenings that are going on in the food bank, different collaborations we've been working with. There's numbers available with how many people we've served, how many groceries we've rescued. One of my
this
favorite
is KRFY,
programs.
88.5 Ponderay.
So much for that.
It's 9 o'clock.
That's
kind of
cool.
Yeah. So rude of him.
I know.
Voice.
Hey, well, okay. That's great. Thank you all for being here.
And have a happy holidays.
Yeah. Indeed.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Okay, we're gonna throw it over to Bird Note now. And did you queue up another song, Jim? That we should start
with.
I did
on this date in 1978. I think one of Bob Seger's greatest songs.
Yeah.
The album came out, but the song was the title of the album, Night Moves.
Yeah.
And I just think it's absolutely.
It's cool. This is actually one of my. I'm glad you queued it up. We'll start off out as a
absolutely
with that right after that. I think it's one of my favorite. I mean, it's his best. I
agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
And it's
Teenage Drive-In News.
Yeah, it's that
love it.
That breakdown where the song just ends.
Yeah.
And he just kind of starts reminiscing for a second. That's what makes the song.
Okay, coming up after Bird Note. Be patient, Bird Noters.
Yep, here we go. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY.